Hey everybody, it's Off The Ball, it's Gerard Gilroy. Now, before you dive into this podcast, there are plenty of ways to build an ACCA. Some people stick with the favourites, some are convinced they've cracked it, others less sure once the final result goes sideways. However you do it, William Hill lets you boost your football ACCA, giving you more back when it comes good. Just build the ACCA you want with four or more legs and William Hill will boost your winnings depending on the number of selections. The boost is applied automatically and shown right there in your bet slip, so you know exactly what you're getting. Whether it's a quiet midweek fixture or a big weekend of football, it's a simple way to get more out of every ACCA you place. Download the app or visit William Hill to get started today. Over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, back to the podcast.
Off The Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off The Ball.
I've been lucky enough, you know, I've never had anything too bad. I suppose in time, I broke my neck in Limerick. I was out for 3 months
Nothing too bad, I just broke my neck.
Subscribe to the Off The Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Football Pod Club on Off The Ball in partnership with AIB.
Proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies' football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
Hello there and you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Were we ever really gone away? Paddy, James, how are you both? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What year? What year is it now? Is this still season four of the pod or what is it?
Till season five. Yeah, we're going to wait for the county season.
Season five. We're in the twilight zone here.
Yes.
It's the days of the week we've missed. You wouldn't have a clue what day of the week it is. You find that? We're full on back to work now tomorrow.
Yeah, party's over for tomorrow, isn't it? Party's recording over. Sunday night. Are we allowed to say we're recording on Sunday night here? You pretend we are. We're doing this on a different day.
No. There's no pretension going on here. It'll be straight out late tonight. It's been some weekend of football, lads. And before we get into that, have you had a nice little break?
I did anyway.
Christmas.
In general.
Yeah. Your first Christmas in the new gaff, Jimmy, with the new baby.
It was.
Very different Christmas than previous ones, or?
Well, we had a family wedding. My cousin got married. James and Amy got married. So that was on the 27th. So that actually takes like a couple of days out of it.
That's a nice couple of days. They're normally quiet days anyway. To have a wedding in there is lovely.
Yeah. Then the 23rd, obviously, would be a big night. We're in town Christmas Eve. So we kept going. It was same as every year, really. Obviously, the baby was being passed around to grandparents. And stuff.
They just got rid of the baby. I'll pick the baby up on New Year's. Good luck.
I should see her there for the first time, not tomorrow morning.
And come here, is Limerick much different now than being in Killarney at Christmas?
I am not in Limerick, but as I've said, and people still say it to me on nights out, are you in Limerick? No.
Yeah, there's a bus now.
1 kilometre outside Killarney.
Yeah.
Prime.
Very nice. Yeah. Millionaire's Row in Killarney.
How did you get on the new gaff?
Nice, yeah. We had a very quiet Christmas, lads. And with two babies, I'd just say to Tommy there.
No harm.
I'd say a cumulative total of about 10 points over the whole of Christmas. Well, very nice, very chilled out. Very. With that today, very chilled out. The gaff was still like Beirut, but we're in it a month now, so I'm well settled in. So no, it was good. It was a much needed break. I'm looking forward to a new season, a new year, and all that stuff as well. Like, so I'm hoping we don't have another fucking baby this year now, but we'll see. Get excited, lads. You know, you get very excited one of these nights to come in. Paying for him for fucking 20 years.
I was full on expecting to see you and Dancy on the Stairs tonight.
Oh yeah, I thought we might see that too. I thought we might see it as well.
There's no GAA person in it this year, is there? Am I right in saying that? There's usually always a GAA person, player or desk cattle. There's no one in. Eric Roberts. Would Eric Roberts be counted as a GAA?
He's a bit of a stock.
GAA.
He's part of the pod. I'll tell you what, I just saw him there. He was good.
Okay.
Did you watch it? I didn't watch it.
You're seeing just as a down below, I was watching a bit of it.
A lot of stuff. Chelsea City was on. They tell you here, a good room to improve is back, Jimmy, Neil Gaff.
Nice, that's nice. Today was outrageous. Leeds against United. Then yeah, Danny Warden, or not Billy Warden, that was yesterday.
Scott Bridges. Yeah.
And then Liverpool and...
Fulham.
And then Chelsea City.
You'd look literally last night.
I recap the Dingle game again then after just to keep myself going.
For what a game. And you'd literally last night as well.
Some job with Dingle, isn't it, lads? Dingle were involved in probably the best game, one of the best games of football to end 2025. And if they kicked off 2026, it's going to be hard back getting a better game than what we've seen yesterday throughout the rest of the year. Like, just comes up trumps.
Yeah, even that part of the country, the Gaeltacht and Dingle are obviously side by side huge rivals, and both of them into the final. Like, seven
different days, though. Have I read that right?
Well,
Gaeltacht are on next weekend.
Yeah, 7-day turnaround. Or 8-day turnaround, maybe. It's tight. The Junior and Intermediate All-Ireland Finals are next weekend. Kerry also have a representative in the Junior All-Ireland Final too, Bally McGilligan. So, James.
I know.
This has been your year. It's time to make hay for the Kerry games.
They're lifting.
Yeah. It's interesting times, all right. It was some weekend of football, lads. I'd love to have had the feet up, and I'd love to have, you know, been watching TV all weekend, but I was on the road. I managed to get us off to a good start. I was at Dingle and I was at Dingle and Ballyboden, and I was at Scott Center Bridges today. So I'm just
you could tell us now. Actually, Tom, from Barkey Cueve for the first game, the wind going into the was there wind going into the city end, I suppose they call it, is it?
I thought there was a wee bit of a wind actually favouring on Gaeltacht in the first game where they were shooting into the far side. Into the Black Rock. I actually don't know the ends that well in Porky Queen.
I don't know.
But let's call it the Marquine goal. Call it the Paul Ganey goal post now. Which one?
Yeah, say the Ganey goals, yeah.
Well, go on. Wind. I don't think there was a huge wind there yesterday, to be honest with you. And I was actually talking to Paul afterwards, and he said it's one of the first kind of winter football days he's had when there's been no wind. And I don't know if you heard it, but I was asking him just about kicking that unbelievable last two-pointer off his left, and like it seemed like it was suspended in the air for so long, and what was it like just watching it and knowing it was going to split the posts? And he was talking about how obviously the calf has been at him, but he got out kicking last Wednesday, he got out kicking maybe the Saturday before it, and whatever way the cold snap has come, he felt the difference in the ball and the way the ball was moving. And he was like, you just had to dunt it. You had to kick it straight and true. You couldn't curl it. Yeah. There's no point curling it anymore. And
it's heavy. The balls are heavy, T. It's the first week of January. Like,
for sure.
And in the cold air, it doesn't travel the same through the air. Yeah.
And I'm not sure, did you notice, Began didn't kick as many kickouts long today. No. And I don't know whether it was as much to do with the Bridges press or it was just the way the ball was today that it just wasn't moving as far either.
He had a bad 45, Tommy, as well, didn't he? And Connor Carr as well. Like, both of them you'd normally
Began. It's hard to kick off the deck.
45 is like a chip over for him.
He just did like a three-quarter jab at it. He didn't even have the legs.
It was short, like, you know, and I was thinking this guy can kick the ball 65 metres, never mind the 45. So just the conditions are so tough. And like, the weather's been great. It's beautiful. There's been worse conditions for all Ireland semi finals. You're thinking, what was that Glen and Kilmacud Crokes up in Uri where you literally couldn't fucking see the match and it was played. So.
Or even Bridges and Castlehaven 2 years ago, very much the same
Munster,
as
the
pitch in the Camogie final yesterday. That was Castlehaven and Dingle. That was a whitewash. Gaelic grounds are still in bits from that.
Yeah, Jesus, that was insane that was played. But was there danger that was going to be called off today?
Yeah, I was beside Brendan Cawley, the referee, and his team of umpires from Kildare at about 1 o'clock today, down by that goalpost. Scotstown hadn't actually arrived yet, and the Bridges boys were around. He actually called Conor Carroll down and said, you're going to be in these goals. What do you make of them?
Like, okay.
80-90% of the field was perfect. But lads, the goal mouths were frozen over. They were rock hard.
You could see that on TV as well. You could see the ice on the... It was just by the goals.
And it did soften a bit, but like, it's just the way the scoreboard is, the way the stand is in Breffni Park, the way the sun drops over the hill. There was no sunlight dropping on it and the temperatures were freezing, and it was definitely dicey. It was close, but and you know what? It's tough on the referee as well, because if somebody gets injured there, did you see the way Brian Stack fell after he caught that kick out today? And he hit the deck on his neck. There's word now he could be in a little bit of bother for the All-Ireland final. I didn't get confirmation either way after the game, but he played on, obviously. But like, the ground, when it's that, you know, hard and cold, if there's a fella hitting his head off the deck, or you know, even a goalkeeper diving for a ball, it just kind of changes it a little bit. But anyways, game went on, and
isn't that Bridges good, Tommy? He said that Carly was called over. Connor
Carroll. Oh, Carroll. Yeah, well,
the players, like, yeah, it's like 99.9% and nearly 100% of the time players will want to play the match, particularly a game of that magnitude. And you've given up Christmas and the sacrifices, and it's such a massive game, no matter what the players want to play, I'm sure. So, but for Carly to even just consult with the players, like I say, the player's going to be in that position on the pitch, go, what do you think? I think that's good. Look, he's one of the best refs, but
yeah,
I think both sets of players, there's no way you want to get there an hour before throwing, and it's like, this game is off. Like, that's a bit of a shit show.
I'll tell you what, though, I didn't envy him. He was off on his own in a corner then, and taking phone calls and trying to make his mind up, and he gave it as long as he could to make the call. Obviously, he made the right call today because the game went ahead, but by God, if he had pulled the plug in that game, the Scotstown and Bridget's, the older fellas who were in the stadium around the same time as I was, getting their good seats and trying to stay warm, would not have been happy. But yeah, look, it was. We might save the Dingle game for a couple of minutes because there's a lot of magic from that game and a madness that we want to get into. But today, lads, I think we saw a really, really, you know, intelligent Bridget side, a really strong defensive display. But Scotstown are going to have regrets. They had so much of the ball in that second half, didn't they?
I don't think they played well at all outside of even the first half. I know they had opportunities, but it was just like, I felt like it was a flat performance. Like, I don't know, we're watching on telly, Tommy. You're obviously there, you're at the ground. Like, and it's tough for club teams, the turnaround time, you know, such momentous wins for those teams, winning their provincial championship just before Christmas. Then you have Christmas and New Year's, and then you've now one of the biggest games in your club's history of the fucking 3rd or 4th of January. It's a tough schedule, and Scotstown for me just did not. We've seen them play so much over the last number of years, and I think they'd be disappointed with the performance today. I just thought, you know, they're an experienced team as well. I know Bridges have been around the block as well, like, but it just looked, that first half in particular, even when it was a lot closer, you know, Bridges put away just before half time, but just it seemed like any time Scotstown turned the ball over, they were wide open at the back. Like Bridges on the counter attack were just, I know Scotstown missed chances, but so did Bridges, tell me. Like, I thought, they just seemed to play it a lot smarter, whether it was kind of Anthony Cunningham and tactics. Were you chatting to him after? I seen his chat with TG Carr. He was kind of alluding to that kind of transition game. And look, he's keeping his cards close to his chest, obviously, with the All-Ireland final in 2 weeks' time as well. But it just seemed like Bridget's were a bit more street smart in that game. And they just hurt Scotstown when Scotstown were just turning the ball over or begging, losing his kickouts. And just that waiting for that revival and that spark in the second half from Scotstown, just didn't get it. You know, it's just, I was disappointed with them. And it doesn't matter what I think. I think they'd be disappointed with themselves. I thought it was an opportunity for them. And Bridgets were just a little bit smarter, a little bit sharper.
Up front, I thought Scotstown were missing something. Like, in fairness to Jack McCarron, I thought he actually led the line for them brilliantly. He showed very well. He created a lot. He had a couple of misses, made a couple of mistakes, but he seemed to be the one fella really trying, and obviously he had that goal chance at the end, which is cleared off the line. An unbelievable.
What a save.
Stop on the line.
Sean Trundle.
He definitely,
that would have brought it back to a point now, to be fair. Like, so.
Yeah, but he was winning that duel. He was actually playing well, but they didn't have anyone to kind of play off him or to help him out. It was very much a one-round attack. They were just missing something, and even Began usually is up there and even making runs off the shoulder, and that didn't seem to be happening until the very end. They just didn't seem to be the usual Scotstone, and they didn't have enough
front. Like,
they didn't kick 112. 112 is
Conor McCarthy and Shane Carey, Kieran Hughes, like, they have, you know, grade A experienced attacking players. And that's what I mean. It's just, you said, like, score 12 points. I know conditions are tough. I know it's only 60 minutes as opposed to 70. But again, you know, players of that calibre, you know, to score 12 points with these rules, it just all points towards it was an underperformance from Scotstown, I think. And you look at yesterday, I know we'll get on to the Dingle game, but we've said it loads of times covering club championship matches the last couple of seasons. The inter-county guys stand up and they show why they're the best players on the pitch. And we seen it with Tom Sullivan and Gainey yesterday, like, riding over stuff. And that gets Dingle over the line. And you just talk with Scotstown, like Began did in the Ulster final, for them kicking whatever it was, 11 points, and Yeah, Jack McCarron was okay today. Brilliant finish for his goal. But Scotstoun didn't get that from their big, big county players. And to win these, there's so little between the teams. You need that little bit of magic from your key guys. And I just don't think they had it today.
It's funny.
I was just saying that, you know, for Jack McCarron's goal.
Yeah, I love that.
And he ended up in the left corner forward spot. If I was a coach, right, I'd have the left-legged player in the left corner and the right-legged player in the right corner, because from that goal, you could see the defender was trying to stop him from coming inside to have the shot from the middle of the goals. So all he had to do was a little dummy and guarantee a shot off his good leg. And it was a brilliant finish.
Great
finish. But I just thought it was clever in a way. He kind of used the defender to pretend to be going in towards the goal, kind of fake a pass, and then just a brilliant bullet finishing in the early corner. But that's just one thing that I noticed, that I'd love to see a left-legged player in that corner.
It was that textbook sort of goal that we've kind of seen, definitely in club championships this year, from the new rules, where the forward cheats inside to the arc the second the kick out is taken, hoping his side are going to turn it over, and then it's a quick ball in from Maguire and a fine finish, he said, James.
Darren Hughes kicked that in, no? Was it Darren Hughes?
Was it Hughes that kicked it in?
I thought it was Darren Hughes. So whoever it was great for
could,
the
have
passing,
been, could have been. Thought it was one of the guys. It could have been Hughes. What about Brian Derwin's finish? Like, sticking it into the stanchion, the top corner of the net, just opening the body. Like, what a finish. Absolutely glorious. That was some goal. I thought there were shades of, like, yesterday, I think Paddy Bowden are 8 or maybe 9 points up on Dingle at half time. And bring on Paul Gainey. And Dingle get 3 points. On the spin, Gainey sets up the first one. Bowden break it, and they actually score a goal in the point. Basquel with a fine goal to go 10 points up. But Dingle worked their way back into it. And there were shades of that again yesterday, or today. Scotstoun were 4 down. They bring on Conor McCarthy, who's been recovering from injury over the last couple of weeks. We know he's had an impact role. They break the Bridges kick out for quite a bit of it. But just when they get it back to 5 points, they have the next 8 shots, they only get 2 points. And in that spell, you know, they missed a couple of goal chances at the start of the second half. I don't know if you remember, Shane Carey's won a save, and then Darren Hughes is a save on the line by Rory Fallon.
Turned off the line, yeah.
And then next thing, McCarron, obviously, he rounds the keeper, and Trundle makes that brilliant diving block. It just felt like they never really got that even moment.
It was a McCardle's goal chance at the end as well. We blazed it on the bar.
Yeah, just McCardle, like, yeah.
They had chances, like, but that's the nature. If you're not clinical, like I say, I don't think they were at their best. I thought Bridgets were a little bit smarter, missed maybe a couple of opportunities themselves, they put themselves in really strong positions with steals on Beggins kickouts and on turnovers in the first half, and they probably didn't make the most of it themselves. But it points to, I thought Scotstoun would win that game today. I just felt it's a tough one, and you look back now and say, oh, well, look, was the Ulster final, they were trying so long to win that Ulster title and been on such a journey, and was that their peak? And we said, you know, was it like we'd win the Leinster Championship earlier on this year, and we felt that they even admitted themselves that that was their Everest, they weren't really going to do anything in the All-Ireland Series after that. I wouldn't have put Scotstoun in that bracket, but that's the way they performed today. And that's the disappointing thing from their side, whereas with Bridgets it was just maybe a bit of a street smart performance. You know, Paul McGrath spoke afterwards, man of the match, and he was talking about, he was asked about Beggan. And we've seen Donegal do this to Beggan as well with Monaghan, where keep him out of the game. You know, the influence he has, you know, he nearly single-handedly winning the Ulster final against Kilkenny, and he was on the fringes of the game. Now, just don't give him freeze, don't give him opportunities to step into the game and keep him on the edge of it. And then Scotstoun, if he's out of it, I know Conor McCarthy's not at full tilt, but you're looking for other guys to stand up for them, and they just didn't really get that. And you miss opportunities like that. I don't think they'll have any complaints. I think Bridgets were full value for it. Kind of kept them at arm's length. And it sets up, you know, I wouldn't have had this as the All-Ireland final, I must admit.
Just two more quick ones, Paddy, right? Because it is a wily Bridgets side there, but they have line breakers in the likes of Conor Hand, who just is such electric speed. And it felt like Scotland didn't have that today. And Hand kicks his brilliant two-pointer in the second half.
Yeah.
Scotland didn't even get a sniff of two-pointer. Oh, Francis Maguire kicked one in the first half. It's a brilliant one. But this is a team we're accustomed to seeing knocking over two-point frees and the likes of McCarthy kicking in a few against Kilcoo and Kieran Hughes or whoever you're having. But they didn't even get a chance to do that off the deck. Like, Bridges were very cute with their free count. Rory Fallon was speaking afterwards and said that they're not going to make any bones about it. They were very, very sure that they wouldn't give away a freeze in shooting.
You can see that. You can see that. And like, if the team really, really focuses on it, like we said about Donegal, would have done this in the Ulster Championship as well, playing on it. It's like, it takes away such a weapon from the opposition. You need to be unbelievably disciplined. Everyone needs to be on the same page. Anthony Cunningham, such an experienced coach. He was asked, I think nearly anyone who did interviews from Bridges aftermatch was asked about that, because there was such a focus on Beggan in particular because of his heroics in the Ulster campaign. And every one of them were kind of saying, yeah, look, it's we obviously tried to target that. We didn't want to create opportunities. It was such an obvious strength for the opposition. Loads of teams will say that. Loads of teams will try and do that. But it showed, like Anthony Cunningham alluded to, he used the phrase, we have smart players in the club. We have experienced players in the club. We've seen the great Senegal Bright come on for a few minutes at the end as well.
Yeah.
We just have been around the block as a club as well. So that's what I mean. That's the kind of that's a hallmark of a team who just were on the same page. They were sharper than you felt where Scotstown were at. And look, it's going to be the same challenge going into the All-Ireland final now in 2 weeks time as well. I think it's an intriguing matchup.
It's going to be class.
I wouldn't have had these two teams in it. I thought Bowden would probably get the job done yesterday as well, but the All-Ireland club final, it sets up a brilliant game.
Cunningham was the Gary Castle manager when they beat G in the Leinster final with Bridges back in 2011. Yeah. And they ended up losing the All-Ireland club final across Glen Rangers after a replay. You know, they kind of missed and shot the first
game. They beat Bridges, Ross Cannon, in the semi-final.
Yeah. And then
lost the cross in a replay.
Lost the cross, yeah. So Bridges have been there twice. They've won one. They've lost one. They're back in the final. Only lost by a point to Glen a couple of years ago. But James, they're facing a Dingle side, or Dangany Cush, in the All-Ireland Club Final. And for a long time in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Saturday afternoon, it did not look like Dingle were going to be playing again in 2 weeks' time.
No, it didn't. My microphone's not great there, Tom, I tell you, is it? But
no, you're perfect. Keep going.
No, you're good there now, Jimmy. You're back in the mix.
At the start of the game, honestly, we were watching it and I was thinking the worst. I was thinking All-Ireland Final last year with Coola and Errigal, I was like, these fellas are going to pull away. That's what Dublin do, or the Dublin clubs do even. And for Dingle to hang in there, just battle through, don't put the head down, just next ball, just keep hanging in there. We'll get to half time, we'll get Paul Gainey on and things will change. And it's like they had belief in that game plan or that system, and they just hung in there. And sometimes, you know, you'd hear soccer managers sometimes, especially the foreign soccer managers, they'd always go, we have to suffer. We had to suffer for a long spell, 10 or 15 minutes. My God, the Dingle suffered for half an hour of absolute torture and pain, and they just stuck in there. And then Pat Warren went off, obviously, with a hamstring injury after only 25 minutes. You could see him coming off on telly. He rubbed the hamstring. Yeah. He's had hamstring problems his whole career.
Okay.
But that was a big turning point. Next thing, Tom Sullivan powered into the game, got 4 points and a two-pointer. He just drove on. He just led Dingle and Gainey every single...
Were they all the same, James?
What's that?
Were they all outside the left? Were they all outside the left?
They were, yeah.
They were just glorious scores.
I think the two-pointer was right on the cusp of a... It could have been one, could have been two, but the ref was delighted to give it two because it was so much quality.
I marked it as a one in my notes and I looked up and I went, oh, I made a mistake there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was close. It was close.
But even during that was
some leadership.
It was serious
leadership from Thomas.
But
well,
during
though.
That spell, you still have Conor Gainey to chip in. You still have Dylan Gainey to kick four. Like, they do have a lot of quality. It just needed Paul Gainey, to just knit it all together, because every single thing he does is the right thing.
James, you're so right. But, and I know he's their top scorer. I know he's their talisman. I know how good he is. But how could he make that much of a difference? It was even spiritually he changed him, never mind physically or skill-wise. It was just like Dingle changed and they believed when he came in. Like, they got a score 30 seconds after he came in. A kick pass into him, he slips it to Dylan Gainey. They have 3 points in the spin. Bowden hit them again, but they just don't panic. And they started going direct. It was like they changed. Did they change the terms of the game? Like, if Bowden were playing a running game, Dingle started kicking.
Yeah.
Well, you expected that beforehand. That was...
But why Paul, like, talk to us about Paul here a little bit, will you? Like, he's struggling with his calf, yet he still kicks 8 points after coming off the bench. Like, he was on one leg in the Kerry Championship final and he scores 2-2. How is he doing this?
He doesn't need a lot of possessions to contribute more than anyone. He only needs to touch the ball 5 or 6 times and something will come off every single one of those possessions. And his shot selection is bang on off left and right, inside the arc, outside the right. Like, even in, obviously he got that wonder score of a two-pointer to bring the game to extra time. But his first score with his right leg from the side where he has to take on his man and he kind of gets pushed back and he ends up kicking it over from a tight angle with the right, from the right. Like, that's such a difficult score. That's his textbook score. That's like an easy one for Paul. So everything he did, I thought every decision he made was right, because it's easy to come out in those games and think, right, I'm here, give it to me, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you nearly make a balls of it. He didn't. He was nice and steady. Every decision was right, which was just bang on for Dingle.
What about the one he slipped to Mark O'Connor in injury time?
For the left-legged goal shot.
Yeah, he seemed to tire a touch, or did he go for goal? I don't know, but that, like, even Paul said to me afterwards, he thought that was the chance gone.
Yeah, I know, I thought that was it. But I think what happened to Mark was, sometimes it's easier in those situations to go for a goal than a point, because you have to kind of go at it from a different angle to chip the point. And I think the defender was coming at such pace, he just said, I need to get rid of this. And he connected poorly with it, and I thought it was chance over. But like, Ballyboden missed so many easy chances. Like, easy chances. When it's your purple patch, you need to wipe out any chance of Dingle coming back, and they didn't. They fed into Dingle's fuel. Like, the freeze. I mean, like, you can't miss any free in All-Ireland semi-final, and they missed a couple of, you know, fairly routine frees to take them through.
Even the 4 goal chances in the first half, you know, like, there's a couple of good saves by Curran, but, like, there's 1 or 2 gone wide as well. Oh, like, it felt like that game should have been dead and buried after 43 minutes. And then, you know, Gotobin, Conor Gainey has those 2 goal chances.
You could say it was dead and buried.
Yeah.
If you put yourself in a position, whatever, about 9 at half time, like I say, you expect some sort of reaction, like we said in the All-Ireland Club final last year with Aragon and Cola, that there's a bit of a comeback. You know, these are good teams. There's 4 teams that have won their county championships, their provincial champions. If you're in the All-Ireland Club semi-final, you're a bloody good outfit. Like. So Ballyboden would have expected Dingle, particularly with the quality. Gainey comes on, you don't expect him to have a total rider overs match, but you expect to have an impact. Bowden kind of absorbed that and then get their goal, and you think, right, now it's over. So like, they did put themselves in a position, they should have been even further ahead, but you felt like they'd done enough to win this game. But the one thing you have to say with Dingle, yeah, they have quality. Thomas Sullivan and Paul Gainey, two of the best players in the country for the last decade, maybe assisted by the likes of Mark O'Connor, the other Gaineys as well. Like, but what you're seeing from Dingle is just like they weren't great in the Munster final leader against Finbars for large parts of that game. Like, we feel like we had this conversation before Christmas. Reviewing that match, it was like Dingle just hanging in there. And then when it really counts, they have that stardust. And there was
they just don't die.
Yeah, and it's like, it's hard for teams to get that and create that and that. Like, every team wants to have that never say die, and like, their backs to the wall and they come out swinging. But Dingle have shown it a couple of times through this campaign. And then they've got the little bit of magic to pull it off in the end as well. And I thought, look, I think Ballyboden will be unbelievably disappointed, because I think if you play that match 10 more times, I think Bowden would win it maybe 6 or 7 times. Like you said it, Tommy, you expect it going into the game. Their Ballyboden's, you know, A game is that athleticism, the power, the overlaps, the running. You felt Dingle would probably struggle with that. You know, Dingle want to kick the ball, that traditional Kerry style of play, and he just felt loads of different times for 45, 50 minutes that Bowden
It looked like many of his boys, Paddy.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's what you expect to go into this game, and it was panning out that way. But Dingle, to be fair to them, like it was against the Bars in the Munster final, if it's not going their way, they're hanging in there. And then loads of teams, like I say, they want to hang in there and give themselves a chance. We talked about Scotstown earlier. They didn't have the quality to finish the scraps that they had, whereas Gainey stepped up and Tom Sullivan, obviously. You're watching it just going, fucking hell, this is like Royal Rover stuff. Paul Gainey at his age, it's just a two-pointer, and then another two-pointer. You're like, what? This is name of the trophy type stuff from Dingle.
No, that wouldn't be seen that too early.
You've got to go, Bridget. Who's favourites for this final in 2 weeks? Bridget.
Well, Bridget would be. Right? I'd say Bridget would be favourites. Yeah, I'd say they would be.
Dingle have got to be. What do you coming into the last quarter in the honour?
It'll be tight,
no matter what's in it. Dingle are surely going. We've been out of this competition so many times, and we pulled it out of the bag. That's got to count for something in 2 weeks' time for him as well. But yeah, it was a brilliant game yesterday. The drama of it. And then just a bit of quality from both sides. Ballyboden had periods of quality, but Dingle, when it mattered most, it was exceptional.
Yeah, I don't think you can actually overstate how almost incredible that mindset is that Dingle have. Because when Pascal got the goal, I think it put them 10 points up after 35 or 36 minutes. Yeah. If you're 10 points down with 20-odd minutes to go in the semi-final, I mean, you're thinking, this is not going our way. For them to keep chipping away there, keep plugging away, next score, next thing, it's down to 7, it's down to 6. I just think that mindset is brilliant. And it will...
Is that a thing? Or is it just this group of players?
It's that group of players, because even I was watching the game with the lads yesterday, and Ballyboden went 9 up, I think. And they were saying, there's something about Dingle, they could bring this back. Do you know, it's a trait they have. It's like, you know what? That's brilliant to put in the opposition's head as well. Like, these fellas
are not done. Yeah.
And all credit to them. I thought it was sensational. But you know, the turning point was, or not the turning point, but a huge moment was De Bruyne's goal. Where Conor Gainey slips it to him. Just from a defensive point of view there, right? He was always going to come back in on his right leg. And do you notice the defender completely overshot the runway and almost encouraged him to come back in on the right? If he just slowed down.
You could read it like a fucking Harry Potter book, this fella is coming in here. Like, come on, man.
I just steady up a little bit and he'll force him onto his left. And it was never a goal, but.
Curl the Jets there. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
But James,
there was a massive
moment after that as well, lads, because Ballyboden had this unbelievable knack of, and Dingle only scored 5 first half points, but every single time Dingle pointed, Ballyboden responded within seconds. They got a point of their own within seconds, and they just kept this 6-7 point gap there the whole of the half. But moments after the Bruins goal, and I'm cursing myself now because I don't have the notes taken, but there's an interception by a Dingle defender on a Bowden goal chance, like seconds later, like, and that just, I don't know, it just sends the tide a bit. And a couple of minutes later, they get a Gainey point off the right, and then Tom Sullivan kicks his fourth in a row, or his fourth and a half, and that just leaves them within touching distance going down the stretch. And we know what they did after that, but like, yeah, I don't know, James. I was speaking to Mikey Gainey afterwards as well, and had a good chat with him. Mikey told me he's not used to doing those pieces after a long career with Kerry and Dingle. I'm surprised with that, but he was well fit to talk. But he was just talking about how they're a little wilder back west. They don't know when they're beaten. Same with Angaeltacht. Angaeltacht were at times probably should have been out of sight against Salins. That was nearly the game of the hamstrings. Colm Dalton was held back from Salins, Kildare Star, and Breno Bjuglik and Carlo Bjuglik didn't start for Angaeltacht, but all three came in to finish. And we again had one of those crazy, crazy finishes. So similar to the Bars Dingle game, where there is a kick out, there's a breaking ball, there's a free given for over carrying, there's a tiny bit of a scrum and a skirmish, and the referee marches the ball forward. But Eoin Croher nails it. Point down, 2 to win it. And he
was that when the referee brought it inside the arc, because he said, at least I'm not going to cost them the game here. And like, most teams would say, yeah, we'll take the one, we'll head for penalties. And he goes, no. I looked over to the sideline. I think it was, it's Darragh Kinnaird and Aidan McGarrett on the sideline now. The two boys would swing him over. So I think Aidan was like, no, go for
it. Sum himself out. Darragh Kinnaird is going to come on as well.
Let's swing it over.
They said two, and in fairness, he struck it sweetly.
But there's a bit of that too as well, though. I felt that the referee brings it only 4 or 5 yards inside the arc. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's still a toughish kind of a kick. Do you know what I mean? It's still 35 yards out. You're only coming back another five or so. I can kind of, not that I'm taking away from the decision, but, like, it's not like it was a 13-meter free. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But every year,
to bring it back out. Like,
oh, to bring of course it back it out. 80 minutes. 80 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Like, Aina's not a free taker. He's a brilliant, brilliant player and a brilliant kicker, but he's not necessarily a free taker. And from his wrong side, and to still have the legs on it after what, 75 minutes? Inspiration.
Unbelievable stuff. Aina Obioglik, number 7, and Pádraig. Pádraig Ógóisé really impressed me in the second half of that game going forward, and defensively, I thought they were brilliant. But like, Salins again, very disappointed after that. These kind of decisions, lads, I still kind of feel, I only caught one replay afterwards, they're tough, but
heartbreaking.
They're
heartbreaking.
They're so difficult, but it's the rule. I know I keep saying it, but. You know,
so what are you saying, T? Come on, are you back? Like, what? Are you with the rules? Are you against them here? What's?
I'm with the rule. I don't know what the answer is. I think the rule has been brilliant, but
not this rule.
No, James, it has totally cleaned up the game. I think it has. I think.
Slowing down
a game. Sorry, I'm talking about bringing the free forward.
Yeah, me too. But look at the way the game went, right? Gaelic had a kick out. And Aidan Walsh was gone off, and Bugley was gone off, right? So they had nothing in the air.
Mm.
And he was looking out. Sure enough, they lost the kick out. Salins win it, right? The game is over. It's too much of a... It's too harsh. It's heartbreaking for the Salins lads.
It's horrible.
For something like that to cost him.
Yeah. You're having a bit of a... You're having a busy evening there. The phone keeps ringing, does it?
It rang there, yeah. Why did you cut out there?
No, you just got a little notification here. Do you want to take your phone call? Do you want to keep going? It's late in the Sunday.
No.
Everyone, all right?
Who's that?
Okay.
Coaching gig.
Yeah, so on Gaeltacht now are into the All-Ireland Club Final. I'm sure we'll have plenty of decisions like that. They'll be playing Glenillan of Derry. Owen Bradley's club,
is it?
Yeah. Who got the better of Scotstown in an absolute goal fest. It was 5-8 to 2-8. And they just took their chances, Glenillan, and Strokeson, I said. Did I say Scotland there? Strokeson from Scammon. So they got the job done.
How's that working?
And then Ballymacallaghert, as we mentioned, into the junior final. They bet Grangeovan, 216 to 16 points. They'll play Clare Óg of Tyrone, who bet Kilchi Ma in the junior football final as well. So they're going to be interesting games this coming Sunday. 1:30 p.m. for the junior football final, 3:30 p.m. for the intermediate football final in Croke Park this Sunday. A really tight turnaround. You wouldn't want to have any hamstring injuries or calf issues or groin issues or sore ribs or dead legs.
The senior club is 2 weeks, 2 weeks time.
Yeah.
And then the National League is the following weekend.
There you go.
Jesus, lads, we're going to be sick of the fucking sight of each other again.
When's the senior final?
2 weeks.
The 19th, and then league is the week after.
Yeah. Senior final in 2 weeks. So,
and am I right in saying, Tommy, we will be on the road, the football pod, with whoever the victorious team on Sunday week's final.
We'll be with them early that week. We will be with the All Ireland champion. So,
Jesus. Yeah.
So
it'll take me 3 days to get the fucking deagle if they win this thing. It'll be 3 days to get out of there, I'd say.
Or it'll be Roscommon, lads. It's one or the other. So
with the bridges.
I think we'll have to do an overnight in whatever village or town ends up winning the All Ireland Club. So we'll see what happens there. But doing a little bit of work on that in the background. That'll be the fourth episode of the Football Pod Club. We've already brought you.
It'll be a great final, though. It will be a great final.
First three. Yeah, it will be. Lads, we're going to take a really quick break and we're coming back with a couple of other little bits and pieces. And then we are out the gap for this Monday, first Monday. Sunday in January. So bear with me a second. The pod is brought to you as always with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Club Championships, Senior, Intermediate, Junior in women's football, camogie, hurling and football. Support for the life you're after. We'll be back right after this.
Hey everybody, it's Off The Ball's Ger Gilroy here. Now, before you dive into this podcast, let me tell you that William Hill have decided racing needed a bit of a shake-up. So they brought in the new Racing Bet Builder. It lets you combine multiple picks from the same race into one personalised bet. Basically, more options, more control, and fewer excuses if your mate's bet beats yours. Pick top three finishes, go head-to-head, or call exact positions all in a single bet. It's racing from a new angle, and it's live now with William Hill. Get the app, start building your bet today. It's over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
All right, you're welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews. And I think James O'Donoghue, we're having a couple of technical problems tonight, James, but it'll iron itself out. You good?
Wife went Limerick, is that all over the shop?
Yeah. It's all over the shop. That's like there was a lot of football on this weekend. There was a lot of preseason games, but I don't know if we're going to get too deep into the preseason games yet because, like, you know, Meath bet Wicklow, but like just before the game, I looked at the odds. Wicklow were heavy favourites going in, given that Meath were named 20 debutants, and they also brought a squad of 30 to play a challenge game somewhere else this weekend as well. So I think a lot of panels, a lot of counties are carrying panels of maybe 50 odd players at the minute. The Dubs, Paddy had a win against Laois. I could name out lads here and we've never seen them before. So, you know, Ger Brennan is obviously casting the net far and wide at the minute and a lot of counties are doing that right now. So I think that's what we're going to see over the next week to 10 days as counties are warming up. James, you might just flip your camera there because you've gone upside down on us.
But Tommy, that's what these competitions are for.
Definitely. You
know what I mean? The pre-season camps, whether we see them again, we thought they were gone, they've got a bit of a Lazarus-like recovery for this year, and particularly for new managers. Like, not just with Ger Brennan and Dublin, you'll see, like I say, lots of counties are trying to find players. The National League is in 3 weeks' time. So, outside of maybe two or three counties who have pretty set panels, like even the likes of Kerry and Jack O'Connor would like to maybe find one or two guys to supplement what they've got. But for the likes of, like, just from a Dublin perspective, you've seen that the team announced, like, Dublin supporters would not have seen any of these players before. So Ger is clearly, and look, it's probably more necessary in Dublin than maybe other places as well, needs to find 10, 12, 15 guys to maybe come through in a World Cup game, these games over the next 10 or 14 days with a view to having maybe 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of these guys in the National League panel playing against the likes of Donegal or Mayo or Kerry and things like that. So lots of counties are going to use these couple of weeks.
For sure.
Whether it's the Kenny Cup, FPD League, the Armagh Cup or the McGrath Cup down there to find players. So I wouldn't read too much into it. It's they're trying to unearth some gems.
No.
The only thing is, Tom, is that the way the National League is gone, if you start poorly in the National League, the pressure is on straight away.
For sure.
Straight away in join the media, join podcasts, but in your supporters, you know, the players thinking you'll be going to the right thing. Yeah, like, and I see even Kerry now obviously have nobody. Now, Kerry are different because obviously they're reigning champions. I think that there's 3 or 4 teams that are probably in that boat where they don't need to start well, but everyone else probably does. So to only be playing your best team. Only be playing your best team maybe halfway through the league, it's so competitive, you'll probably have lost. You know, you could be in the relegation, in the relegation battle. So as much as you want to find fellas, there's a balancing act because you don't want to be too far behind.
Definitely. I couldn't help myself Friday evening. I threw on Armagh Tyrone, watched it on TG Carr's YouTube, but they had two kind of fairly experienced slash youthful teams out. They were kind of split 50-50. Matty Donnelly gets a goal for Tyrone and young Lorcan McGarrity, who impressed for Loch McCrory in the club championship as well. He was brilliant for Carrickmore, sorry. And then obviously...
I didn't see that, Tommy. Did Tyrone have many of those 20s playing?
They had a couple of them playing all right, yeah. They had a couple of them playing.
That was an exceptional under-20s team.
I think they did. I thought
about it. Try and bring through 4 or 5 of these guys. We obviously know Michael Holmes, the star, but there's other guys in that 20s team who you feel there Oisin, back on Toronto over the next few years.
Oisin O'Neill, man of the match in that game. And then Daniel McGee, who impressed for Clonairin this year, was in a half-back line with Jarley Ogan and Ross McQuillan. So it just shows you that, you know, 7,000 people turning up to that McKenna Cup game, they were taking it seriously. It was kind of funny then today to look at Derry and Donegal deciding to share the points and refunds issued to everyone else. That game was obviously called off today, so they'll be playing again midweek. James, I'm gonna pop down to Clare Castle. It's only 10 minutes over the road to keep an eye on Kerry against Clare on Tuesday night in the McGrath Cup. So I'll let you know if there's any fellas catching the eye. So.
There's a couple of Kerry lads standing out in training, but it's very early in the year. You know, like even
it
if
is,
you're,
of course.
If you're going well this time of the year, it's hard to keep it going, even when the ground changes and things. And it's a long time to keep it going. And you know what? Even when some fellas,
it's the fuck.
Doesn't strike me you're much of a January book, were you?
Oh, man.
Excuse me, as a McGrath Cup.
Shooting the lights out.
The McGrath Cup legend.
One of the big tests. You're in the
beam
test in January.
No wonder the Sigerson never suited you.
No chance of a career.
Hang on. The Sigerson did suit me. We were going to win it 1 year. And you know what?
Is Cliffy playing on Tuesday night?
I don't think so. But Clare obviously got theirs off to a winning start on Friday night in Waterford. And so look, we kept an eye on it over the weekend. Niall O'Callaghan from Dublin scored 1-6, obviously had started in Kula's run, Con's brother. So yeah.
He was involved last year, Tommy. He just had loads of injuries. Like, he was on the squad last year with Dublin, but just had really, really bad run
for
injuries.
Sure.
So yeah, he is definitely something Jerry's going to be looking at, yeah.
As you said, if there's 50 players being trialled, you know, most counties are looking for 3 or 4 or 5. A couple of quick comments, lads, before we wrap her up and we're back next week. Derek Gavin, is Tommy bringing you two boys on a foreign pre-season training camp ahead of the new season of the football pod?
Ooh, we're open to suggestions.
He's all empty promises.
Dingle or Athlone could be the furthest we'd be getting, or his comment could be
Tommy,
the furthest
come
we'd
on. AIB for the life you want. Is that not their slogan?
Dave Manny says,
bit of heat,
two entertaining semi-finals. GA needs to do more to promote the games. The highlight shows need. I don't know. I think we know these games are on. TG Carr.
Mark a card on that one. That could be something.
Yeah, possibly. Oh, interesting. Jerome Kelly and Cormac talking about Paul Ganey. And Shawnee Buckley as well, just a masterclass. Cormac wondering, will Paul Ganey be the Kerry captain next year? I'd say he'd be more worried about 2 weeks' time, but that's a thought for later in the year. Liam wants to know about the disallowed goal, the Dingle goal, just before half time when it looked like they might need a Conor Flannery roofing it into the top corner. He was very unlucky. It should have been allowed. I think he controls the first bounce, but the referee thought it was two bounces.
It was some finish, but I think the defender would have blocked it. I think he pulled out of the block because he heard the whistle, did he?
Yeah, I think
so. You would have deflected it over, I think.
I think you're right. Ryan O'Dwyer was brilliant, by the way, for Ballyboden. Kicked 7 points at the weekend and brilliant performance. Really, really impressed throughout. And Ross McGarry played quite well as well. Quaylon said, ask them about United. I don't really know if that's a loaded question. We might save that one for again, lads. United have had a couple of weeks. Tig is looking for an early prediction for Footballer of the Year and Young Footballer of the Year. Tig, hold your horses. We don't even know who's playing in the league. We're focusing on the club for the next 2 weeks. And then Lyme.
Keep an eye on the McGrath Cup. That's a good indicator.
Final 2-1s. Lyons. What's his first name? I don't know what Lyons' first name is.
Tommy,
I don't think it's
Tommy
Mick Lyons. Stephen Lyons. There we go. Has Ger Brennan unearthed any hidden gems from the divisional trial games? Do you know what, Stephen? We'll send Paddy out to keep an eye on some of these divisional trial games.
I'm not going.
I have a question, Tommy. Who is taking the Dublin training sessions? Who's doing the coaching?
I'm not sure. I was speaking to Ger Brennan last week, James.
It's all a mystery. It's all a mystery. It's cloak and daggers.
His final moments, you know, involved in the kind of loud, they had their awards night last week, and Ger was in great form that night, but I'd say he switched straight back to Dublin straight away after it. But I don't know. There's a lot going on. Is Paddy Andrews... Have you had any scouting roles in the last little while now?
No, keeping the head down.
Okay. Final question from Dylan. Did Dingle need Mark O'Connor to be able to win? I think, Dylan, he'd be a big help. I think he would. I think if Geelong Cats have released him for the semi-final, and I know the Dingle management are kind of saying, oh, we don't know where we have Mark, I think you can be fairly sure they'll have Mark. The big worry, I would say, is Bridget and Brian Stack, because that was a fairly hefty fall there today. So, listen, lads, good pod, good weekend of football. It warmed me up anyway. I enjoyed watching it in the freezing cold the last couple of days.
A new year, a new dawn for the football pod. Like, I'm just laughing. I'm thinking back to lads winning a fucking bleep test the first week of January. Like, you just get the red pen straight out. It was like, this fella's got no chance.
Scrush.
Get him out of here.
No chance.
There was clubs definitely back training this morning. You know,
there was.
I think it's a bit too early. I think it's still a bit too early.
Our new house is just down beside Castleknock GA Club. Not that I'm joining
the
Castleknock GA Club.
What about Hugo?
Don't know. We'll have to wait and see. A couple of years to go. And it was about -2 this morning, 9 o'clock, and there was a group of lads going over with their gear bags training. And I was like, thank fuck, I'll retire. Jesus.
Yeah, the boys in Mead Hill
right. Sunday the 4th of January, 9 a.m. Not for me, friends.
Tricky. And enjoy it if you're out there. It's good to be out. James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews, it's good to be back. It'd be even better now if your club is in an All-Ireland Club final in the next 2 weeks, but we'll take what we get for the moment. Boys, be good. We'll talk soon.
Goodbye, lads.